Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
You want your 5-star matches? You want your 30-minute classics? Not me. Big meaty man slapping meat.
Good, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, Randall Beatley. Let's jump right into it. We got some things we're going to talk about. We're going to cover Crown Jewel and its predictions. I'm going to give you 5 stars that are 5 potential stars in the current NXT product that I think are featured. 5 people. Or groups. There are 2 tag teams and then 3 individuals that I think are potential stars. Now, I say potential stars because you can't guarantee, you know, everything. You can't guarantee that these people are going to be, you know, superstars in the industry. These are 5 people that I enjoy watching that I think have that it factor, and if booked properly, can be a potential star that are currently sitting in NXT. We're going to talk to me why I'm going to give you my reason why I think NXT is the best show of WWE, and then like I said, we'll end it with Crown Jewel predictions, but we're going to begin this. We'll go ahead and get the Tony Khan AEW hate out of the way. And this actually doesn't revolve around Tony Khan. It actually revolves around his locker room. It starts with JD from NY on Twitter, which is controversial in and of himself. So I'm going to say 2 statements here. Both are true. 2 things can be true at the same time. First statement, JD from NY does not know what he's talking about 99% of the time, or at least comes off like he doesn't know what he's talking about. And he comes off hateful, misogynistic, blah, blah, blah. I'm not an ist type person. I don't know if he's sexist. I don't know if he's a misogynist, but his tweets come off as this. He does seem to have a sort of a larger hatred, and he's more outspoken against women's wrestling than I've seen him. Now, I've never enjoyed anything that he's done, whether it's YouTube or his tweets. I've never been a big fan of him. I always thought that he catered and was extremely biased to the AEW crowd and to the AEW locker room. And now he's getting condemned. Now, the second statement, the reason he's getting yelled at was a truthful statement, and that is Marina Shafir versus Jade Cargill is a shitty ass match. It's a shitty match. It's actually going on. AEW is actually going on as we speak, as I'm recording this. I don't watch AEW. I have nothing necessarily to say about the product, but I agree with this statement. That match just, it just on paper, just seems like it's going to be a clusterfuck. Right? Two things could be true. What I am more concerned about, though, is the fact that there is this unprofessionalism in the AEW locker room from the superstars. But it doesn't surprise me, because you have EVPs who apparently kick in doors of locker rooms and allegedly, you know, can't be professional enough to talk things out and rather would start a brawl. You have a CEO who, you know, he's unprofessional all the time on Twitter, commenting back on hate comments on Twitter. It doesn't surprise me that these people can't take a little bit of critique. And so they've been going after them. I'm not going to spend a whole bunch of time on this, because it's not really important. I just don't understand this unprofessionalism in pro wrestling. You're supposed to be professional, right? You're supposed to be pro. And there's so much unprofessionalism in not just in AEW, in a lot of the indie scene as well. But could you imagine, you know, a WWE superstar, you know, hating on and calling names of a fan, whether verified or not, whether big name superstar or not, could you imagine, you know, doing this? I don't know. And if they do, I'd call them out just as much. All right, so I don't necessarily care about the situation. JD's a dumbass anyway. I don't necessarily like him as a person. I'm not condoning him. In fact, I would say don't follow him. Don't listen to him. But if that's something you do like, if you actually agree with him on a lot of what he says, have at it. Believe what you want to believe. I'm not a big fan of him. I do stand with him, though. He has the right to critique superstars and critique matches. As a fan, he has that right to critique it. And this is more of a bigger thing of the IWC, right? In order to be, like, influential in the IWC, you have to, you know, you have to do what everyone else likes. You have to, you know, follow the trends. And that's not something I'm interested in doing ever. But you also have to, like, it's funny to me how quickly the IWC eats their own. How quickly the superstars eat. And there's this new sort of, like, perspective where, like, if you've never wrestled before, you can't, like, use their lingo. It, you know, there's a lot of gatekeeping from wrestlers themselves, especially on the indies, where, oh, you can't use our lingo. You can't, you know, you can't tell us that we suck because you've never done it before. Well, I tell football players and basketball players and baseball players that they suck all the time. But I've never played collegiate or pro football. That's part of being a fan, is critiquing the product. So I'm just tired of all the gatekeeping that seems to happen in the IWC, where everything is toxic if it doesn't agree with, you know, the point of view of the mob or of the majority of the IWC. If you sort of deviate from the majority, you're toxic and you get caught out on. And I don't know. It's just weird to me. Let's move on. Let's talk about NXT and why I think it is WWE's best product at the moment. At least the most entertaining to me. You have some of the best wrestlers. You have some good matches. You have some good stories. Raw is boring to me again. Triple H has played his card. He's brought back all of his people. And now it's just sort of boring. You have some things that are good, but I don't know, maybe it's just this push into Crown Jewel. I'm just not a big fan of what we have had happen here post, you know, post Extreme Rules, but really leading into Extreme Rules as well. I just haven't been all that excited on the product. I feel a lot of it's the same. I feel Triple H's and the booking team, they've gotten real lazy. They've just produced a bunch of 30-minute matches on Raw, and they don't give us much, you know, story or content. They still haven't explained what the hell Nikki Cross is on Raw, like, and then expect me to, you know, understand what's going on. The last two Raws have been extremely boring, in my opinion. I was there live at the Charlotte episode, as I've done an episode of, and I've already given my opinions on it, but there were moments of that show where I was like, this is boring. At least at home, I'd be able to, you know, have good internet service and can go on Facebook. And, like, I was in my phone for some of that, right? Triple H is coming to the point now to where he's just producing a bunch of non-storytelling matches. And to me, Raw is becoming Dynamite. SmackDown, you have a little bit, like, I can watch the Bloodline. I think Otis and Gable are entertaining as hell. If Corbin came out and was a little bit more, I've already told you what I would have done with Corbin. I would have had him in a suit. And if he came out like where he was presented as a wrestling god rather than whatever the hell he's trying to present himself as. Like, they're calling him the wrestling god, but he comes out, like, still as Happy Corbin. And it just doesn't make any sense to me as to what Corbin is. He's just not being presented right. Right? I love damage control. I love, you know, the individual. But the stories are just bleh right now. And then on SmackDown, I mean, outside of the Bloodline, there's really nothing much going on. But on NXT, I can watch, you know, Bron Breakker and what he does is great. Wesley as champion is great. Grayson Waller, you know, talking trash and, you know, doing all of that. That's great. Pretty Deadly, I've learned to sort of like them as the heel champions that they are. They're pretty great. I actually just got done. I recorded last night's episode of NXT because I was watching the World Series. Which is on right now, so this is why this episode isn't going to be so long, because I'm going to go back to watch. I needed to make this now, because this was the last day I can make this podcast before Crown Jewel. So I went ahead. I'm skipping watching part of the World Series right now, but it's the most baseball I've ever watched ever. Is the World Series right now? I just don't watch baseball during the season. I don't really necessarily care about either of the teams. It's just fun to watch the world. This is when baseball means something, right? I heard, and this isn't a baseball podcast, so we won't go into that. But, yeah, this is a fun. Anyway, NXT, right? So I just got done watching that episode. It was thoroughly amazing, the entire episode. Like even to the point of, like, Chase U. Which sucks that Bodie got released from WWE. That really sucks. Because I guess it's, you know, he's just not progressing the way they want him to. But I thought he had some of that charisma that maybe you could overlook his lack of development in the ring. But it seems to me that that's a point of emphasis that Triple H is trying to have is good in-ring work. Which I understand. And while we're talking about this episode of NXT, I don't know if it's storyline or a real injury, but prayers up to R-Truth. This dude's a legend. If Ron fucking Killens is not in the Hall of Fame at some point after he retires, it's a crock. This dude is fucking amazing. Dude is a legend. I consider R-Truth a bigger legend from Charlotte than Ric Flair. Like, Ric Flair's not even from the area. He's only popular here because he wrestled in the area, you know, in the Jim Crockett promotions. But Ric Flair isn't even from Charlotte. So I've never understood why the Charlotte area, you know, took to claiming Ric Flair. He's from Memphis. That was where he was born. He's from Memphis. He doesn't even really have anything in relation to the city of Charlotte other than Jim Crockett Promotions. And so I don't necessarily care about Ric Flair. R-Truth is the Queen City's legend. That's who I came to see. Like, I was talking to my friend before the episode of Raw in Charlotte. Like, R-Truth better show up. Like, this is a good way to have him show up at his hometown. Anyway, prayers for him. Hopefully, if he is hurt, that it's not that serious. Part of me wants to say that this was story. And that in the same way that Grayson Waller hurt Apollo, he's now hurt R-Truth. But I don't know. It could have been a real injury. Either way, I hope he's fine. And we'll see where this leads. But yeah, NXT to me is just overall, it's presented better. It has better matches. It has more promo. I think it's more so, I just enjoy the wrestlers on NXT a lot more. Schism is slowly starting to get over to me. Like, at first, I wasn't understanding where Gacy was going when he was by himself. Then he added the other two. I can't think of their names right now. They used to be Grizzled Young Veterans. And that was weird to get adjusted to because we, like, saw them, like, 2 weeks before they joined Schism as Grizzled Young Veterans in a match. And then they come back and they're, like, shaven and bald. And it was just weird. And now we have Ava Rain, which... She knows how to talk. She's got that promo skill. And that's amazing. I love it. NXT is just great. I think Vic Joseph, outside of Michael Cole, Pat McAfee, and Wade Barrett, those are like the top three to me. Vic Joseph is highly underrated as a commentator. I like it. I like his work. He does very good job at, you know, telling the story and doing what he needs to do. I like Vic Joseph. I really do. I know a lot of people don't, but I do like Vic Joseph. Speaking of NXT, we're going to spend the next few minutes talking. I got two tag teams and three individuals that I think are potential stars that are currently at the NXT level. So we'll start with the individuals. We'll start with people that I'm, you know, not so certain. Like, this is like a 50-50. This is me taking a guess. And then we'll go with people like I'm 100% certain that this person's going to be a star if booked properly. There's always that caveat. There's always that asterisk. The booking determines how you get yourself over. A lot of times, you know, it's you getting yourself over, but it's also your booking. So booking... taking into consideration, I think Thea Hale's a potential star. I think she's only like 19. She's very good in the ring for her age. And I think if she's doing this Chase U gimmick pretty well, if she can get out on herself, maybe part of me thinks that her and Duke Hudson are going to turn on Andre Chase and that Chase University is essentially over. That's part of what I think is going to happen. And that's going to be very interesting to me. But I think Thea Hale has that it. She's young. She's got the potential to become a superstar. And that's why she's on this list. You know, if she was a little bit older, maybe not so much. But she's only like 19. She's got an entire career ahead of her. I thoroughly enjoy whenever she's... on screen or, you know, doing what she does. She's really good right now, and I think she can only get better. I'm going to go ahead and throw these out here. Like, I used Bron Breakker and Carmelo and Nikita and Cora Jade last year. So I'm not going to use them again. So the next star, I'm sort of like 60-40, and again, booking really plays a part in this. Odyssey Jones returned after blowing out his patella, having surgery to repair it, was out for like 9 months. He comes back and he puts on a pretty decent match. They definitely put him over on commentary. There's definitely plans for him to be used. It's very rare that I like bigger superstars. I'm a bigger guy myself, but I tend to want to see, and when I say bigger, I mean fat. I'm like overweight. I tend to believe that WWE doesn't really push their fat super, and I'm going to say overweight, fat superstars. They tend to use them as they're using Otis in the sort of comedy gimmick. But Odyssey Jones seems to be getting that Keith Lee push when Triple H was in charge of NXT and Keith Lee got that big, giant push. That seems to be where he's moving Odyssey Jones. And I hope he goes to the moon with it. I like Odyssey Jones. He looks like he could be like a fan favorite. I don't see him as a heel, but he could be. He looks like he could be like the next Mark Henry. I hate to compare him to someone already, but he looks like he could be that next Mark Henry to me. Now, number one, again, depending on booking, so I can't be 100% certain, but I'm like 90-10 here. I'm 90% certain that this person, based on booking, if booked correctly, is a future superstar in the women's division, and that is Kiana James. It took me a minute to grow on her, but she gets better every week. She's very good in the ring. I saw her live on the main event episode in her match against Dana Brooke. She's very good, right? She's very good. And I don't know how long she's been wrestling for, but I don't think that's like her background. She was one of the Vince McMahon hires right before Vince left. That was sort of like, we're going to hire professional athletes over old wrestlers. And I like Kiana James. I think she's got a little bit left to learn and maybe get a little bit better. I don't necessarily know her promo skills. Let's see how long she's been doing this. So it looks like 2022 is like her debut year. So the fact that she's been doing this, what, less than a year? I wish I had a Wikipedia page, not like all of these gimmick pages. Anyway, it looks like she's been doing this for like less than a year. Yeah, the beginning of in-ring career, 11/9/21. So 1 year of in-ring experience. Trained by Flatbacks Wrestling School with his Tyler Breeze and Sean Spears. Less than a year of experience. I think she's, you know, very, very good. Very, very good. She's only had like 36 matches in her career based on this website. So her first match looks like it was on an episode of AEW Dark, which tends to be what happens. You got these women who go on Dark, and then they don't get signed, and then they come over to, she lost four straight matches on Dark, and then goes to WWE at the beginning of the year. And basically is used as developmental, changes her name, and then, you know, really started winning towards October. They really started to push her, it looked like. Some wins and losses here and there. My whole point is, I think she's a superstar. I think she's gotten better. I think there's a lot she could do better, but she's a superstar, in my opinion. Now, let's talk about these tag teams. So, the Creed Brothers, let's go ahead and throw it out there. I think they have the potential to be what American Alpha was, and potentially be better than American Alpha. I love the Creed brothers. I love, like, it took me a while to get. Now, I'm not a big tag team wrestling fan, I'll be honest. But their style, they remind me a lot of, you know, Kurt Angle. Like I said, American Alpha, America's Greatest Tag Team. It's one of those things where, like, I enjoy their gimmick, the brother, the actual being brothers. There's always something to me where it feels like they have that just birthed chemistry. And tag teams, if you have a brother and you're in wrestling and both of y'all wrestle and then they put you together as a tag team, you just automatically have that sort of chemistry. I like the Usos, I feel, right? It's just that connection, right? That birth chemistry. And then, I'm a little biased with this one. Briggs and Jensen with Fallon Henley. All three of them are superstars. I love everything about them. I love the gimmick. I need them to not change anything about the gimmick. Just continue it the way it is. Maybe a little bit stronger push. I think Fallon Henley's great. I like the tag team as well of Briggs and Jensen. This thing works so well. Continue it, WWE. Don't let me down with this one. It's my favorite tag team in NXT is Briggs and Jensen with Fallon Henley. Great. Those are great things. All right. So we're going to end it there. Not much more to talk about. Not much, you know, insight there. We're going to predict Crown Jewel, and then we're going to go back and watch the World Series. All right, so we're going over to Saudi Arabia. First off, I'm going to go ahead and send my thoughts and prayers with the talent. Hopefully WWE makes the right decision if they find that there is an imminent threat. There's apparently reports that Iran may potentially strike in Saudi, and the arena where Crown Jewel is being held is listed as a potential place of attack. Hopefully, if WWE gets any reports that, you know, something could happen, that they, you know, stop the show. There's no reason to. Now, my problem, and I bring this up because there's the fans that are like, oh, WWE win their blood money. They don't care about their talent. Why are we still there? Blah, 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 blah. Look, the deal may not be great. We all can admit that the Saudi government is not a good entity. But neither is China, and we suck China's balls all the time. The same people who complain about Saudi, I don't see them complaining about China. And I hate to get political, but that's just the case. But let's talk about this thing right here. Let's go over these matches. Let's start at the bottom. Bliss and Asuka versus Damage Control for the Women's Tag Team Championship. Basically a rematch from Raw, where Bliss and Asuka won the titles. So, I think Bliss and Asuka retain. And I personally think we could potentially get a Sasha Banks and Naomi return here. I personally think that's what... So, one of two things are going to happen. We're either going to get a match at War Games, at Survivor Series War Games, between Alexa Bliss, Asuka, and Bianca versus Damage Control, all three members for winner takes all, or we're getting Naomi and Sasha Banks back. And they need the faces to be the champions. I would have made this a match, and I would have waited for the title change to happen at Crown Jewel rather than on Raw, but it is what it is. But Bliss and Asuka are winning this match, without a doubt. Usos versus the Brawling Brutes for the Undisputed Tag Team Championships. I'm going the Usos, but something might happen here. Does the Sami Zayn get involved here? In some way to determine the outcome of this match, we shall find out. Bianca and Bayley for the Raw title, last woman standing match. Bianca's going to win this match. I definitely think Bianca wins this match, and I think we get Charlotte's return as well. I think this is where we get Charlotte debuting or returning to start the feud towards WrestleMania against Bianca. Omos versus Strowman, I could give two fucks about. Strowman better win this match. Cross versus McIntyre in a steel cage match. I think McIntyre is going to pull this one out. I don't understand where this feud is going, to be honest, but I'm going to say McIntyre. Lesnar versus Lashley in this brawl of a beatdown. I don't know where to go with this because part of me believes that Lashley needs this win so that he can put himself back in the main event picture. But I don't know. I'm going to go Lashley. Lashley needs it more, so I'm going to go Lashley. The OC versus Judgment Day in the six-man tag. I'm going OC, and I think they figure out who their fix to Rhea is. Part of me wants it to be Charlotte, and this is where Charlotte actually debuts. Or returns, not debuts, but excuse me, debuts, returns, whatever the hell you want to call it. But I want to know, do we get a Rhea fix, a Rhea problem fix here for the OC, and who is it going to be? Charlotte could be it. Maybe it's someone else. Well, I can't wait to see who it is. And then our main event, Roman Reigns and Logan Paul. This is the match everyone cares about. This is the reason why I'm reading this card off of Days In News. This is the reason why every sports broadcasting company in the world is talking about this pay-per-view, is because of Logan Paul. There's rumors that Jake Paul is going to be there. I've even heard rumors that KSI is going to be there, which is Logan's business partner with Prime. This is getting press for good reasons. This is why I'm all for Jake Paul and Logan Paul and Bad Bunny. If they're going to put in time to learn the sport, Pat McAfee even, if they're going to put in time to learn the sport, I'm all for them. Wrestling and coming. Celebrities are great. Celebrities are great if they're going to put in the work to learn the business and to treat it with some sort of respect. Like, because in the past, you've had these celebrities like Snooki and stuff who've done matches that really didn't put in a lot of work to learn the business. And it was just, we have a celebrity here for no reason. Right? I think Roman Reigns is going to win. That makes the most logical sense. But we're going to go down what if lane here. What if Jake Paul wins? Excuse me, not Jake. Logan. What if Logan Paul wins? And we get the press for Sunday and Monday, leading in the Monday Night Raw, of Logan Paul beat Roman Reigns, and we have the entire fucking world talking about it. And then we get the Monday Night Raw, and Logan opens up, and Paul Heyman comes out and says, no, Jake, you should have learned to read. That was just for the Raw Championship, the WWE Championship, not the Universal Champion, in which my tribal chief has not lost and will continue his, you know, 7, 8, I don't even know how many day reign of being champion of. That's the story I would take it. Because you get the press with Logan Paul winning, and then you can say, swerve, Roman's still champion, but this is how we're gonna split up the belts. Right. However, I don't think Logan is going to win. I really don't. It's definitely going to be Roman. I think we'll get somewhat of a competitive match. I think we get a Jake Paul interference at some point. But I don't see it being enough to win the actual match. If I'm predicting this, if I'm booking this, Roman Reigns destroys Logan Paul. Just, I would say, like, Superman punch, done. Right? Do like 20-minute entrances, ring the bell, and like Superman spear, done. Like, just in the match with those four moves and then leave. That would be fucking amazing. And a great way to sort of segue into Bray Wyatt. Superman spear, Roman standing over Jake Paul, and Bray Wyatt sort of coming out saying, you are the reason I'm this way, Roman. And then ultimately, I think that's what's going to happen. They're going to transfer us into the Roman Reigns, Bray Wyatt feud, which everyone is already sort of predicting, and I'm sort of fearing to happen. Because my fear is Bray Wyatt's either going to take a loss that's going to hurt his momentum, or he's going to win the titles, which is going to hurt his momentum again, because he doesn't need the titles. I really don't even think Bray Wyatt needs to wrestle, in my mind. Like, just have him do these fucking promo segments and send us on this rabbit chase and stuff like that, and give us bit after bit after bit, and have this sort of like episodic breakdown of Bray Wyatt, where like you're seeing him break down, psychotic breakdown. And because ultimately, I think that's what it is. I don't think it's a faction. I think it's just six personalities of Bray, and he's schizophrenic. That's what I think this is. All right. So, but I think we're going to get Bray versus Roman. I think we'll get Bray Wyatt. You'll have Bray's gang versus Roman's bloodline at Survivor Series in one of the War Games matches. And I think we'll move on from there in whatever way that turns. I'm not going to book that far fantasy in ahead. But yeah, that's my predictions. I mean, it's real simple, right? So that's where we're at. That's the podcast. Thank you for listening. This has been another episode of the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. My name, of course, is Randall Beatley. Find me on TikTok at WeTooDeep413. That is WeTooDeep413. 413 WeTooDeep 413. Thank you again for watching this or listening to the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. I will see you on the next episode.